I'm a little nervous, so just bear with me. Hi, I'm Dorothy. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Dorothy.
Holly Springs is my home group. I did look around, but this is where I felt safe. My sobriety date is 10/11/2021, so I have a little over a year. So I guess to begin with, growing up, I didn't have a, what is that, beaver to cleaver kind of family. My mom was married 5 times. We moved around a lot. These men that she married, 3 of them were pedophiles. So it was hard growing up then. She wasn't there to protect me or my siblings. But I got through it. I got resilient. It made me who I am today. Probably more aware of certain things because of it, which I'm glad. And I wanted to be a better mom than my mom. I wanted to be the Mrs. Cleaver, you know, Beaver the Cleaver, whatever his name was, and a good wife. I was fortunate, you know, I graduated high school. I went to hairdressing school. I moved out of my mom's house when I was 18. I moved in with my sister. I went to hairdressing school. I met my wonderful husband. I think we're going on 42 years now.
I know.
I did get pregnant when I was 16. I'm just going to go back a little bit. Looking for love in all the wrong places. I gave her up for adoption. Probably about 20 years later, she got a hold of me. So I have a daughter in Connecticut. I have 3 beautiful grandchildren. That was a very special time to get to actually meet her, because your mind is always going, thinking, you know, what is she like? Or you meet somebody and they go, oh, I was adopted. And I'm like, you know. So it kind of closed that door but opened another one for me. My kids welcomed her with open arms. I had my son David and my daughter Isabel about 11 years after David and I got married. And they're my light. We moved down here in 2002. We moved down here for a change, and I had family down here. I really didn't drink. I mean, you know, I would go out with friends or, you know, go out to dinner, but I wasn't a really big drinker. But when I came down here, that's when the drinking started. We had family here. We get together on the weekends and play cards and drink. And it would be every weekend, Friday, Saturday, every weekend. Then we started camping. And that was another drinking fest. So it just started continuing. And I can remember my mother saying to me, especially when I moved down here, that you have to be careful, because we, my father was an alcoholic. We have, her sister died at 46 of alcoholism. My brother died at, it'd be 3 years ago, of drug addiction and alcoholism. And she told me this, and I know. And she must have told this 3 or 4 times, because it got to the point that wherever I went, I drank. And then I would be, like, making phone calls, drunk calls. Do you remember those? And there was one time that she called me the next day, and she goes, so how are you feeling today? And I'm like, what are you talking about? You called me last night. I was like, I did. I don't remember. But, so I worked here. I worked for a really great guy here, Bridgemill Dentistry. I worked with him for almost 15 years. I loved my job. I really, really did. I retired in 2018, I wanted to be able to spend more time with my husband and travel. And we did get to go to Italy, and then COVID hit. It's COVID for me was kind of surreal. Because people started isolating themselves. We'd go to the ranch, but we wouldn't get together with everybody. The drinking then, for me, I became isolated. That's when my drinking, back up a little bit, I knew probably about 10 years ago that I may have a problem. But I didn't listen to that little voice. I would push it down. I would not have a drink, you know, a couple days. And then I would start drinking. And I'd say, well, I stopped for a few days. I, you know, I'm not an alcoholic. But deep down inside, I was afraid. I really was afraid. I got, you know, it got to the point that I would work and I'd come home and I'd have a glass or two. As the years progressed, it'd be two or three or the bottle. My husband used to say, you know, you don't have to drink the whole bottle. Just have a glass. And I'd go, Inside my head, I was going, yeah, right. Yeah, right. So I would hide it. I would make sure there was always a bottle home or two or three. I would hide bottles. I would fill bottles with water. I would buy new bottles and fill them up in the other bottle. I mean, like a kindergartner, you know? Who was I fooling but myself, honestly? But the alcohol took control. I lost control of that. That's scary. I had had breast cancer in 2007, and that you lose control on too, because it's like, you know, you've been sabotaged. But I got through that, and I have faith. But this was different. This was evil. So when the, now do I have to do the whole 45 minutes or, okay.
Absolutely.
So when COVID came and you became isolated, I was afraid, listened to way too much news. Should have stayed away from it. I became obsessed with it. Facebook, I was obsessed with it. I have an obsession, obsessive personality, I believe. I really, really do. That's one of my defects. I would call my sister. I'd complain. I was just so negative. I just got so negative. Everything on the news was negative. I was negative. And it kind of feeds itself then after a while. It just keeps feeding itself. And the drinking now was getting worse. And it was probably worse even 3 years before COVID. We'd go camping and my husband would bring like whiskey. I never drank whiskey. I hated whiskey. I liked vodka, but I don't like anything colored. And he'd get his whiskey or whatever it was. I drank the whole bottle in time. I think there was a few bottles, and I lied. I lied. But I think they knew. Yeah. I think my kids could see more than my husband because he was too close. They were going to college, so they saw more when they came home. Lying, it just got easy. And this happened a few times. This happened camping, this happened at home. So then what I started doing was go to a liquor store. I fill those bottles up, and then I look at the new bottle, and the old bottle's filled up. I look at the new bottle, I go, whoo, I can drink this, and nobody's even going to know. So I would drink that. Yeah, I did that too. I did convince him. I've got my I would make him feel like, you know, he drank it. I don't know if you believe me or not, but it just got worse. I started buying box wine. I would drink that really quick. In a weekend, that'd be gone. So then I started sneaking new ones in, and then I'd drink out of the new one, and then I'd replace it with the old one, so he'd never know. It got to the point where, at that very end, and that's when I have to say, I was drinking so much that I was blacking out now. This I'm not proud of. I drove many a times blackout with my husband in the car. We'd have huge fights. He wouldn't talk to me. The next day, I didn't know why. I didn't remember the fights. I got really angry. I got ugly. I got mean. I said hurtful things. I was not very nice. Not proud of it. That was scary. That was really scary. It got to the point also that I would cry myself to sleep, wondering who would I have to apologize to. I was ashamed of myself. How did I do this? You know, this is not what I expected out of my life, was to become an alcoholic. I struggled with that, but I just didn't know where to turn. And so one night, I had an argument. My kids at that point had moved back home, so they were seeing a lot more now. They were definitely more aware. I was fighting more so with my daughter. My husband said, just have a glass. Yeah, just one glass. What do you need to drink the whole bottle? I needed to drink the whole bottle. I'd wake up in the morning. What I didn't finish, I finished that morning. A lot of times I got sick. I rinse my mouth and I get another drink. There was no control. I knew in my heart, but there was another arm that just took over. I would drink all day long. I never drank or woke up during the night and drank. I never did that. I never got that far. I would imagine that I wasn't too far from that. So this one night I cried. I said, I don't know what to do. I cried to God. And for a while there, I had put him on the back burner. I kind of let him go because my drinking, you know, he used to be a big part of my life. He helped me through cancer. You know, he helped me through, you know, having kids. I mean, I couldn't get pregnant, and you know, we had to go through all kinds of stuff with that. But he went on the back. I used to pray every night. I just stopped praying like 3 years before that, and I cried and I said, I don't know what to do. I need help. I went to sleep. Again, you know, the next morning you get up and everybody's looking at you. They're mad at you. They're angry at you. You know, why do you have to drink so much? This went on a lot. So we went on vacation, my husband and I, in 2021. And David was going to come, and then he wasn't going to come. Little Dave, my son, David. And then out of the blue, he decided he was going to come drive down and stay the weekend with us. So that Sunday, drinking, we had a lot of liquor there, man. It got to the point where I would take the bottle and, you know, not proud of that either. I was pretty toasted. We were sitting out by the pool. I don't even know where this conversation came from, or I don't know if we're talking about liquor or what. And he said to me, he said, Mom, he said, you think you have a problem? And everything got so still. It was like everything got really crisp. Like, you could hear a pin drop. It was like, and all I could think of was, grab it. Because I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to do. And I don't want to tell anybody because I was ashamed of myself. And I just looked at him and I said, yes, and I don't know what to do. He stood up. He says, don't worry about it, Mom. I'll take care of it all. And he did. I told my husband. He went in the condo, got rid of all the liquor. At that point, that was my last blackout. I blackout that night. He started calling around to get me for treatment. We left the beach house Tuesday. Wednesday, I was in Peachford. And that was hard. But there was a therapist there that says, you know, years ago, you would spend 4 or 5 months with us. He says, you get lucky if you get 3 or 4 weeks. He says, so what we do for you now, take full advantage of it, because you won't get that on the outside like this. And I listened to him. Even though I was up and down, crying, calling, happy one day, sad the next day, I was all over the place. But I got through it. And it was the best thing that ever happened. I had a therapist that I was scared to death of. He was a monster when you were in therapy, but outside the doors, he was just the nicest guy. He could run you right down real quick. I did PHP, and then I did IOP. When I left PHP and I came home, he said that night you're going to an AA meeting. And he said, I want to see your chip, and I want you to get a sponsor. Friday, I went to my first AA meeting. What was that? Hillside. I went to Hillside. It was a woman's group. I walked in that door, and I said, oh, thank God. I was terrified, and I just felt more comfortable with women, you know? They just took over. I got there, and they welcomed me, and they started the first 3 steps with me. One of the girls that was running it said, I'm your temporary sponsor right now. You will call me every day. I don't want to text. I want to call. Okay. I would do anything at this point Just tell me what I have to do and I'm going to do it. But she goes, I'll find you somebody. And she did. I think it was Sunday, I think we talked. Denise, did you call me or did I call you? I don't remember. But we had a lot in common. She's from Connecticut. I'm from Connecticut. Yeah. It was just, God fills in things. He puts people where you need people to be. And Denise is just what I needed. She's a hard ass. But she scared me a little bit, I'll be honest with you. But that was okay, because I really needed some fire under my ass to keep me going. My family was wonderful at this time when I came home. I think we all kind of walked a little bit on eggshells when I first got home. I didn't know what to expect. They didn't know what to expect. But they took me in open arms, loved me, and let me walk where I needed to walk. And that was through the doors of AA. I did 90 days and 90 days or whatever, 90 meetings and 90 days. I did that. I really, at first, I was kind of foggy on the meetings and stuff like that. I just didn't get it. I didn't get the rhythm of it or anything like that. I called Denise every day. We met once a week, and we still do. I love my meetings that I go to now. I feel so like the Energizer Bunny, because you go to a meeting and you always walk out feeling good. There's something that you learn, something that pertains to me. Nobody's looking down at me. Everybody's friendly. I always wanted to fit in. I never fit in when I was growing up. This is the one place that I truly fit in. I can say anything and I'm not going to be like get out of here or, look down. I have a purpose now. For me, not working, which I worked all my life in dentistry, that did not help my alcoholism, because I didn't have a purpose. Even though I had a wonderful home life and family and stuff like that, for me, working was also fulfilling. So now I have a purpose, and purpose for me is AA. I have God. I have AA. Denise had told me when we first started that the most important thing, how it goes, is your alcoholism is number one. The what? Sobriety. That sobriety is my most important thing I have to do. It has to come above everybody and everything. And when she told me that, it was like, how do I do that with my family? They're my number one. I was always down at the bottom because I was taking care of them. And I liked it. I liked doing that. But I had to put my sobriety and me first. So I have my father. I have AA and I have me, and then I have my family. And that's just the way it is. It has to be, or I won't be any good for anybody else. I am truly blessed to have this life. I always say, and I've gotten razzed about it, but I think that everybody should do the 12-steppers, because it's enlightening. It opens your eyes. It makes you see things different, makes you act different. I'm still learning. I can very easily fall back on some of my alcoholic habits. I can be short-tempered. Still, I struggle with that. And if I let up on my morning ritual, I could feel it coming back. It's crazy. It's just crazy. And then once I get back into it, everything, all of a sudden, the water starts smoothing out, and it's wonderful. I love AA. I love all you guys. I am so blessed to have you in my life with my family. I couldn't have done it without you. So I think I'm done. I could have went on. I didn't want to get too much into certain things growing up. You kind of got the gist of it. But there is also good that comes out of it, too. Like I said, I was a lot more aware of certain things when, you know, raising your own children. So thank you so much. This is my first time, you know. At 64, I can have a first time. Thank you so much.